What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to Forecast, episode 8. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Scott Johnson.
Yeah, I was about to let you know that.
Thank you very much.
You're Scott Johnson. This is the podcast where we attempt to look into the future. I actually changed our pretentious website slogan, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, I didn't. What did you change it to?
We had the rather highfalutin four-dimensional views through time.
Mm.
And I've changed that to the less ambitious four people predict the future.
Well, that, I think, is something that the common man can chew on and enjoy. So I think you've made a smart move there. But I'm thrilled to be back, Tom. It's always a pleasure to do forecasts. I can't wait to talk to our guests and see what they think the future holds for them and theirs.
Far from common men, we have today with us the members, all the members of Paul and Storm, starting with Paul Saborin.
Hello.
Welcome to Forecast.
Glad to be here.
And, of course, that means alongside him is Greg Storm DiCostanzo.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
I said DiCostanzo differently that time than I had said it all through the preparation for this show, and I said it wrong, didn't I?
You said George Costanza. I heard it.
You've been pronouncing it incorrectly before, and I was just being too polite to correct you.
Oh, and so then I said it right this time? Or I still have?
You auto-corrected, so thank you.
I shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, good job.
Folks, send us your predictions by email, electronic mail. Enter this into the two line, forecastpodcast@gmail.com. That's forecastpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can post it as a comment on our blog, forecastpodcast.com. That you can misspell. If you F-O-R-E, it still works.
You are allowed.
We got an email from Dave. Actually, I think this might have been a posting. No, it was an email. Dave says, Google will develop a microchip brain implant that possesses the ability to access any data at any time, anywhere on the net. It will act as a source for vast information and knowledge to pull from instantly at the very moment you require it. Your brain will decipher the information and then store it away, if desired, into a sort of hard drive space in your memory. Seems scary.
Yeah.
But it's closer than you think.
And then he says, this is an opt-in system, though. I mean, Google can't sort of force this on everybody's head. They have to say, you know, I really want this.
Yeah,
like Veronica Belmont, we know she wants this. She said it on episode one.
Guess it would depend on if you are your parents are giving birth at the Google hospital.
That's a good point.
Or maybe it's required if you're going there, or if you've got like the Google health insurance.
Yeah,
or if you have the invite.
That's right.
Huh. Anybody got any G-brain invites? I totally feel left out.
And then we'll say, this isn't as good as we thought it was. Like, wave. It's too bad. My brain implant isn't nearly what all... It doesn't stand up to the hype. Come on, Google.
My brain's in beta.
And I can't access anything by Rupert Murdoch.
Now, Dave's cursing us right now because he actually saw this on a TED Talk.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, so this is not just Dave's, you know, rantings of a wild man as usual, Dave.
Well, who did it? Like Sergey Brin or something? Or who did it?
No, you know what? I don't have the link in front of me anymore. I'm stupid. I didn't include it in the lineup. But it was not any of the Google people. It was somebody who's sort of a neuroscientist, I think.
Well, dang, because that would have made the major news. That would have been everywhere. Google says they want to put a chip in your brain. It's time to stock up on guns and hide in the hills.
All right. Well, we are here to do some predicting. That is the point. So, Paul, Storm, are you guys ready to do some short-term predictions?
Oh, chock full of them.
Fantastic. These are predictions of what we think will happen in the next few years. It could be in your area of expertise or your hobby, your predilection. It could not. It could be sci-fi stuff you just see in the pipeline, whatever you want. But we're keeping it sort of like, we'll see this in our lifetime. Sort of stuff. And let's start with Storm. What do you got for us?
Oh, so this isn't like super short term, just sort of in our lifetime stuff.
Yeah, it could be super short term. It could be the next 10, 20 years, you know, but near term, yeah. I mean, I know you plan to live a lot longer than I do. So for me, short term is pretty much the rest of my life.
Yeah, no, I'm going for the eternal thing. So I'm going to go with this does relate to the chip implant. But enhanced consciousness, where basically you can have a hard drive that you can access and be able to pull information off of that, and it would almost be like not like a 3D environment, but that you would, sort of like the Matrix, be able to instantly access information that way.
Sort of a John Scalzi brain pal kind of thing?
Sort of, but not quite as all-encompassing as that. More like a utility, like you have your computer and you can attach a hard drive and voila, there's some information there. But it's not like it will totally reshape the world around you like in the Matrix.
Okay, so it's extended consciousness is what you're saying.
Yeah, yes, consciousness plus.
Uh-huh.
I'm all about this being in our lifetime because I can think of lots of practical uses right now. I would like to know if your system of future telling would tell me if you can also offload in a similar way. For example, you've got too much going on in your head, too much information, too much stuff going on. Will there be a way in your mind that we can just shove that off to a little USB thumb drive and forget about it?
Yes. I've actually read that they have been doing or they've found, I think, the neural transmitters that that isolate specific memories. This is a little outside of my area of expertise, so the people that it is their expertise are laughing their butts off right now. But that's, yes, entirely feasible that you could say, I don't want to remember that time that, you know, I peed my pants. You can just show that.
Oh, you mean
that
you, last week, you mean?
Well, yeah.
For me.
So you'll
I don't remember that I peed my pants. That's always the problem.
It's working already then.
Yeah, the future is now.
The future is now in Tom's pants.
As usual.
Is this the way that this podcast usually goes? Does it always devolve into bodily function discussion?
Yes.
At some point.
No.
Almost always.
Eventually.
I think even Leo Laporte and Jim Lauterbach got there at some point.
I think Leo and Jim Lauterbach brought us there at one point.
They led with it, right?
Yeah.
Well, this isn't that far off. I've heard about this, too, where This Week in Science, Dr. Kiki and Justin were talking about the study that you're talking about, Storm, where they said that they figured out how they can kind of go in and wipe out your short-term memory before it gets turned into long-term memory. And they were speculating, like, athletes, for instance, might want this if they had a bad game. And they don't want that to, kill their confidence. So they just, I'm just going to wipe that game out of my mind.
I wonder if they'd ban that. Like, that would almost be the equivalent of a performance-enhancing drug, you know. But instead of adding something, you're taking it away to give yourself a competitive advantage. That's no fair.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens with a lot of these predictions, though, is we end up coming up with these ideas that seem like they have major benefits or even really bad downsides. But we rarely think of like all the weird legal crap that would happen around.
And that's what it always comes down to, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what'll hold it up, is my guess.
Are you, sir, saying that you don't remember hitting this woman? No, I'm saying I left the USB drive where I hit her at home, so I can't remember.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Well, then you send a subpoena to the hard drive, basically.
It just makes the legal process even longer.
Nice.
I on the athlete side of things, though, just real quickly, the one thing that bugged me was like, well, what if you wipe out that bad performance, you haven't learned from it. So you're likely to just do all those mistakes again and have another bad performance the next night.
Fair enough.
That's sound.
Everybody's like,
That silence says it all.
We thought of that.
Well, but then you would be able to access, like right before a game, those lessons that you need to know, you know.
Oh, you could edit. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, parse out.
Like if you were a golfer, you could like access all of Arnold Palmer's championship rounds, like that kind of thing, or would it be limited to your own consciousness?
Oh, yeah.
Could you do like a brainstorm thing where you're like, you know, experiencing other people's experiences?
I don't think so, because I think there are so many different connections that would have to match up the right way. And like your meaning when you see an apple, you know, there might be a lot of other sensory things that just might not exist. So it wouldn't translate as much. I think at first it might be more, you know, static images or odors? I don't know. But
so the future is smell-o-vision then.
Buy no, this great library of odors from Time Life.
K-Tel, I think, is going to come back in the odor industry in a big way.
They'll finally reinvent themselves.
I mean, the idea that they explored in the Matrix was interesting, that you could just jack into a piece of education. So if you needed to learn Kung Fu and your name was Neo, you could just plug that in, and within a few minutes you had learned it. And that idea always kind of stuck with me as something that would be really cool. So if I wanted to know what it was like to bungee jump without actually doing it, I could have that experience without doing that. And I don't know if you guys ever remember the Christopher Walken movie from the 80s called...
Brainstorm.
Yeah,
right,
that movie haunted me every day, because all I could think about was how awesome it would be to have all these great experiences and how terrible it would be if someone strapped me down, put that thing on my head, and made me have a heart attack. So there's so many ups and downs to it, but I've always really liked that idea, and this sounds similar to that. I think it's a cool idea.
Awesome.
Yeah, good work. Now, let's move on to Paul. Wait, did we just... No, we just talked to Storm. What am I doing?
Yes.
You did it. So, Paul, let's hear your short-term predictions. Next 1,500...
Excuse me. Sorry, I got a little cough here. Well, we were discussing just before we started how I wasn't sure I had a good short-term prediction. But then just before we started, I came up with... This is much more short-term. This is more sort of 15 years, roughly that time span.
All right. So you took short-term prediction to mean don't come up with it very long before the show.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You see, because there's two meanings there and all. As the French would call a double entrend.
And that's good pronunciation. That is exactly.
Thank you. Thank you. I've studied it. But I believe within the next 15 years the video phone, the fabled video phone, will become the default means of communication, the way the telephone is right now.
So not just that we'll get a video phone, because we still don't really... I mean, we have Skype video and there's iChat, you know, but there's not a video phone. You're thinking, like, not only are we going to get a decent video phone, but everybody's going to be using it.
I think so.
Like Dick Tracy, everybody's going to have a watch phone.
Yep.
And so, again, it sounds like maybe not an opt-in situation. Like, I think the video phones I think of are the ones that showed up in Aliens, the second Alien movie, where you can be Paul Reiser in bed, barely awake, and Ripley can call you, and you're on the video whether you like it or not. Just like with a regular phone, you're going to hear your voice whether you like it or not. It's only a choice of whether you take that caller ID and answer it or not.
Yeah, or if you put your hand over the camera or something like that.
Right.
I think you know, initially I think it will certainly be an opt-in thing, but it's going to be one of those sort of like digital cable, where it'll become an inevitability to the point where digital broadcasting, where at a certain point everyone says, "You know what? You're going to have it."
The video phone transition happens January 10th.
Well, I could see there being, like, the norm would be you would be expected to be on video, because you'd sort of feel like, God, it's weird if you can't see someone, but that there would be circumstances where it would be sort of understandable, kind of like instant messenger now. Like, some people have it up all the time, others not, and it just sort of depends on the circles you might be traveling in.
Interesting. I'm trying to think how I would like that. If that was a technology... I mean, we have the technology now as kind of a peripheral sort of, you know, it's more, I can't even think of the word, it's more like just a toy than it is anything that would ever be mandatory or expected to be the way we communicate. If I had to do that and it happened in our lifetime, what you've done here has shown me the thing that I would be an old man about.
Yeah, right.
You know, like today they're like, you kids and your internet, when I was your age and that sort of thing. I would be that way with that video phone, I think.
Why do you always have to see everybody you talk to?
And the other thing is, as this technology becomes more ubiquitous, there will also be a vastly increasing market in clothing that closes up the back. Like, if you've got a phone coming in, you reach for that shirt that you can just slip right into, or like a suit that, you know, so you can suddenly look professional even though you're sitting around in your underwear and jammies.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, I love that. Now that
quick,
I like.
The quick suit. You just stick your arms in. It looks like you're fully dressed, but it's totally open on the back.
In a way, that's an olive leaf to the old man, because he's going to like that no matter what.
Yeah.
Exactly.
My overalls of the year 3000.
So awesome for hospital stays. Yeah. No more flowery muumuu anymore. Like, you know, once these things are in production, people will be like, oh, yeah, you know, it's a hospital gown, but it looks like a three-piece suit. It's great.
And then people can keep a whole rack of different styles of clothing if they've told someone they're going out to a formal evening, whereas they're just blowing them off. And then when that person calls, they quick throw on the Insta-tux.
Or perhaps this is what will lead to the previous generation's vision of the future, where everyone has basically the same clothing with triangles and stuff on it, you know?
Like our uniform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, somebody's been listening to the past episodes. Listen to you. That's awesome. Oh,
but.
The funny thing, he's the one who didn't listen to any
of
this.
No, I didn't.
That's funny, because we talked about this very thing. But the idea, the kind of the running man world where everybody's got this sort of Star Trekian suit on.
Spacesuit.
Yeah. My assumption was always that in Star Trek, only Federation wore these uniforms. And if you went to a planet, people would wear different stuff. Although they did that a lot, and they always seem to be wearing the same clothes too. But I'm actually okay with this. It's like the world unifying on this concept that we should be one giant prep school and everybody should wear the same uniform. I like it.
What if it becomes spray on?
Oh, dude. So, you know, not quick enough for when you get in the video phone.
Phone rings, you just grab that can, shake it up. Okay, I'm ready. Hi, honey.
It really is a valet and a spray.
You know, and if we give it another 15 years, I bet it would evolve into the CNN Will.i.am 3D holographic technology. But everybody has to look like Will.i.am.
Yeah, that'll be the default setting.
Yeah.
You're going to, sorry, you know, that's the way we developed it, and you're going to look like Will.i.am.
The problem with the spray-on is if that video phone rings and I leap to my, you know, I leap out of bed and I grab the can of spray and I'm as quick as I can because it's the president calling, and then I'm on video and I'm like, hello, sir, what can I do for you? What if I forgot to, like, spray a boob?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Maybe
it's a wardrobe malfunction.
Maybe you can set outfits like you can set ringtones now. Like, if you know you have a date that night and your date gives you a ring, you've already set it like Google Voice to instantly put on the suave, hey, I'm almost ready for my date outfit.
So it's like a Rube Goldberg thing. It just, you know, it auto-detects the incoming caller ID and then nozzles pop out and just start spraying you up.
Yeah, totally. You don't even have to think about it. Boom, clothes.
Well, if people truly believe in the idea of human evolution, then this is what they should think. They should think that eventually, because we've been wearing clothes for so long, that we will start to exhibit sort of lizard-like features and be able to kind of change into other forms, not forms, but other looks and stuff at will. So if we've spent, you know, thousands of years wearing T-shirts and jeans, at some point somebody's going to mutate and they'll be able to conjure that look on their birthday suit anytime they need it.
Will that give them a survival advantage, though?
That's what you
need to have a selection pressure to get evolution going.
Well, at parties, absolutely.
Yeah.
Suddenly underdressed.
You have a reproductive value if you can put on, like, amazing clothing just shape-shifting.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Knowing me, my descendants will only be able to put on, like, fake members-only jackets and espadrilles and UGG boots and stuff.
It's a mutation. I can't help it. All right. Well, my last point on this before we move on is that this would definitely change protocol and sort of just, you know, what is considered polite. Because especially just at the basic level of if I can have the video on or off, right? It's like, why do you never turn the video on when I call?
Right.
Yep.
Because I forgot to spray a boob.
Because I'm always afraid I'm not going to spray a boob.
I don't know. Some of us are. I'm a little worried about it.
You seem very worried about that. Yeah.
I know. It's just not me to be having that hang out. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I should hope not.
Yeah.
Can I make a really quick, short prediction within the next 5 years?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Bonus.
Someone is going to, it might be Sony, put together a Irish step dancing show that's entirely robots.
Honda could do it.
Wait for that.
Honda.
Yeah, Honda, Sony, all those guys are crazy about the robots. They could totally.
It's going to totally get put on at Disney, isn't it? It'll be like the Honda Pavilion presents
RoboDance.
RoboDance.
Yeah, the perfect smiles. I mean, you see the crawling and the jumping and the hopping things they're doing now. Why not Irish step dancing?
I think you're right. I'm ready for it, too, because it's the next logical step for crazy Japanese robotics, and I'm there for that. I actually think that's some of the creepiest crap going on right now these days. That kind of stuff just gives me the willies. When they have the ones that look really lifelike and her lips are moving in time and she can smile at you and stuff if you say something nice, dude, they got to step back from that just a little bit, or Akira is freaking coming true.
Yeah. Ugh. Let's give it up for HT5000, Overlord of the Dance.
That's right. Overlord of the Dance.
I meant Protector of the Dance.
Nice callback.
Yeah.
We do that here.
Okay.
Callbacks are appreciated and encouraged. That's the fine print of the show. We had to get it in at some point. All right. Did I cut you off, Storm? Did you have one more? Or?
No. I meant that to be a very quickie.
Okay,
quickie
good. Fantastic. Paul and Storm, we have you for two more episodes. Thanks so much for taking the time. It's paulandstorm.com, right, where all of your minions gather?
That's correct.
That's correct.
That's Paul and Storm, because all through our existence, occasionally we will get somebody saying, I looked for Pollen Storm, like, you know,
oh,
a storm
Paul
of pollen.
Storm.
Or Pauline Storm.
Yeah. Like an O chicken.
Yeah. Paul O Storm.
Paul O Storm, yes.
Those are all Irish. Wrong. Paul and Storm with a D.
That of course, they continue to tear up the Twitterverse with at Pollen Storm, also and in the middle, right?
That's correct.
No. Actually, there were Pollen Storm for some reason.
Oh,
no,
right.
I'm kidding. I'm just trying to get...
You threw Scott off. He's like, well, I thought
I'm
I
like, wait
right.
a minute. I'm following you. How is that?
I was trying to confuse the issue, and I managed to only confuse Scott.
It happens. Yeah. Don't forget to leave comments at our website, forecastpodcast.com. We will read some on the show from time to time, or you can send us an email, forecastpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. Tune in for episode nine coming next time, when we will talk with Paul and Storm about long-term predictions. See you later.
Bye.
But it's only 32 years away.